Welcome to this week's Good Work Show, everybody. We hope you're safe and well.
And I guess my computer table is shaking. I'm not half experiencing an earthquake, but...
Oh, I didn't even see that.
I just looked and I'm like, why does it look like my walls are moving? But it was the computer, not the walls, thankfully.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, so we're back with another show. We do have a great guest for you today. We did promise you that we were going to bring you guests back on the Good Work Show because we are now, it looks like we're going to be for an extended period of time that we are going to be socially distancing, which is okay because it gives us a good opportunity to check in with some of our favorite Atlanta nonprofits. And we are going to have Trish Miller on the show, who is the CEO and founder of Swim Kids, to come on. And it's going to be super timely because if you've been outside, it's hot. Oh but it's also about swimming. And so... So hot. Yes. Have you been swimming this year yet?
No. Actually, it's kind of funny. The pool just opened and then they sent a notice saying pool's closed. So...
Oh. Okay.
It was open for like a week.
At least you have a pool in your, like, we don't have that, we don't have amenities in our, we were supposed to have something, but we don't have like amenities in our subdivision. So I don't have immediate access to a pool right now, but I have not been swimming. I don't remember the last time I went swimming.
I can't remember.
I don't either.
And the sad thing is literally the pool in my neighborhood is like outside my front door. Like I live by the pool. And so sometimes you just have to admit your own stuff, right? So I grew up with a pool in the backyard. There was no question about jumping in your own pool, but I am a little skittish of the...
You don't see them cleaning it?
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah, I think the last time I went swimming, I was at my sister's house. She does have a pool. I think the twins get in the pool. My twin nephews, they get in pretty regularly.
Yeah.
Like, seems like almost every day they're talking about going in the pool. But here's the interesting part about that is that she lives in Bakersfield, California. So it's hot.
Yeah.
And the first time she said it, it didn't make sense to me. She's like, it's too hot to go swimming. And I was like, what? Like, I don't understand that concept. But then I thought about it and I was like, yeah, I could see that because the water's hot.
There's nothing. I'm telling you, it's like swimming in a bath. There's nothing worse than it being hot and then you get in a pool and the pool is warm. Or even, like, again, growing up in South
Florida. Not warm, hot.
Like
you could get in warm and still feel like you're,
But if it's, like, hot and you're expecting to jump in the water and for it to be refreshing and you jump in and it's, like, getting in the shower and it's, you got the sun up here and then the hot, it's just not. Yeah. That's like going to the beach in South Florida. Like, you're out there on the beach. You're like, well, I'm going to go get in the water to cool off. And then you get in there. And it's bath water. It's like, you know, 80 degree water. It's not like California beach where it stays cold. No, it's warm. So you're just like, this really doesn't satisfy what the need that I have. Mm-mm. So, yeah.
Yeah. I guess I should figure out a time to go swimming. It's one of those things where I tell, it's like you learn how to do it and it's like riding a bike. You should never like forget. For some reason, I think you have to test that concept out. Like I can feel like I could get on a bike every decade and feel like I could just ride and go. But on swimming, I feel like you got to test that. You can't go that long.
I think at the very least you would know how to roll over on your back and float.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think I could definitely float and I could surely tread water, but trying to swim and stroke and like do, I'm sure somebody, if I fell off of a boat or something, I could swim enough to save my life. Right. However, that wasn't really like, I'm like actual, like, let's just
go out and swim laps. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I have a friend who does triathlons and So he's even beyond me. Like, he'll do open water swimming, which I won't do. Like, I'm not doing that. Or they swim. So he lives in DC. So one of the places when they run the triathlon is in the Potomac. And I'm like, that doesn't seem.
Are there, what kind of creatures are there in there? Like fish and like snakes and stuff?
I don't even know that. I don't know if things can live in that water. I was just very concerned for his health when he told me that.
Well, maybe he shouldn't be in there either.
Well, that was my question. I was like, that seems unwise, but apparently it's.
Well, he's enough. An athlete, so he's in there, he's in and out. Like he's
But I mean, but that's where the swimming part of the triathlon is. So I was like, well, I guess it's safe enough for you to be in it. But see, I don't like lakes. I don't like dark water. So I'm not gonna want to be like in a lake where I can't see the bottom, or rivers, or that kind of stuff. Like,
or where you walk and the stuff is swirling up, like you can't see. I don't like that either.
I don't like that either. I'm very much an ocean and pool girl. But like clear ocean, so like, you know, South Beach Ocean, where the water's clear and you can you know, those are my things. But I'm really glad that, because I think both of us talked about the fact that we did learn how to swim. So I'm actually very grateful that my parents, you know, definitely decided that we were going to, mostly I think it was because they dug a pool and they were like, if we gonna have this pool.
You need to learn how to, And there was nothing else to do in the summertime when we were kids. That's all there was. It was so hot. And then half of the time, I was in California too. I spent time in Sacramento where it gets like 110 degrees in the summertime, and there's nothing else to do unless you're going to run the air conditioner all day. So you need to go, and here to go outside and play. You don't want to be going outside in the 100-degree heat. So you have to find something to do. So the pool was where the action was. And we would wake up literally at like 8 o'clock in the morning, whatever time we woke up, 8, 9 o'clock. Go swimming. The first thing, you go in the pool. You go in the pool. Then you get something to eat. You sit down, watch TV. Then around noon, you go back in the pool because other people are out by then. Then you get out, you eat a late lunch or whatever. Then by then, your parents are coming home from work. And then you eat dinner. And then you go back in the pool. So I'm literally on summer days, we'd be in the pool at least 3 times.
It wasn't that serious for us. Yeah,
that was all. That was a highlight. It's just like in the pool all day.
But so much, when I think about it, so much of what we used to do in the summer like revolved around pools, because you know, we had a pool, and you know, most of the people that I knew like in the neighborhood had pools. So it was kind of like, well, if you go over to this person's house, bring your bathing suit, you go over to that person's house, bring, you know.
Yeah.
It was what it was. So all that to say, we're gonna be excited to hear from
Trish,
thank you, and learn about Swim Kids and how they are introducing this generation of kids to swimming and water safety, so that, you know, the statistics that she's going to talk about when it comes to death by drowning are, you know, bad. And then even just like kids, especially young Black kids, being able to learn how to swim and kind of all the background that goes into that. Yep. So she's working hard to break a cycle. So it'll be exciting to hear what she has to say about that and what they're doing over there at Swim Kids.
All right. So we'll be back with Trish Miller, who's the founder and CEO of Swim Kids, in just a bit. Hello, audience. So welcome back to the Good Work Show. We are excited because, as we said, we've got guests coming on, and we're excited because we have Trish Miller, who is the CEO and founder of Swim Kids. So welcome to the show, Trish.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Absolutely. So it's so interesting because I guess both of us, we didn't know anything about the organization, and so happy that scrolling through social media, saw a post from someone I'm connected to, William Fogler, and he had been posting about Swim Kids, and I was like, this is so great. We have to have her on the show. So So I know a little bit about the organization just from reading his social media posts, but I want you to give our audience a really good overview of who you are and what you do and your mission, because it's so important for right now too.
It absolutely is. And you would think, because many of us are still staying in the house and not really going out like we used to, or we're still a bit under quarantine for the most part, that we're like, well, why are you worried about swimming? And it's one of those situations where we actually have to worry about it even more now, because my background, I'll give you a little bit about why I do what I do and how I came to be. My background is in public health. Very familiar with more of the behavioral sciences, why we do what we do. And however, when I was younger, I grew up at the oceanfront in Virginia. We didn't go to the beach. I didn't go to the beach until I was 16, actually. And even when I went, then it was to be cute. It was to drive the strip and it was not to get in the water. So I didn't have very much experience in the water. And as a result, didn't learn how to swim. And my first year in college, went with some friends to the pool. And I knew how to do a few things in the water, but not much. And when you tell people you don't know how to swim, everyone is going to teach you. And right. So they taught me how to swim. And I was 19 and I thought I was invincible. And they taught me a few things. And I jumped on in the deep end, thought I was ready to go. And I almost drowned. They had to jump in and get me, and I'm so grateful that they were close to the side to be able to rescue me. But that experience really stayed with me, the sensations of being under the water, the sensations of the loss of control, even how the water, I heard the water in my ear. I mean, those kind of things that sparked a trauma and a fear that as I continue to grow and actually grow in a profession with public health, I came to know that I wasn't alone, number one, in that experience, because the statistics around Black people specifically and swimming are really alarming. So just to give some specifics around that, nearly 70% of Black children don't know how to swim.
Wow.
And when you look at it in that kind of way, that means you have 10 children, 7 of those children don't know how to swim. That results in drowning rates. Middle school age Black children drown 10 times that of white children.
Wow. Wow.
Again, those are sobering statistics that when you stop and think about, it's a preventable action, right? We prevent a lot of things. We prevent children dying in car accidents or getting hurt in car accidents by putting them in car seats and making sure that they're buckled up. We prevent falling when they're on their bikes by putting, or them scraping their knees by putting on different pads and things like that. Swimming is one of those, drowning specifically, is one of those things that can be preventable by teaching children and adults how to be safe when they're in the water. So Swim Kids was born really as a result of me recognizing how big those statistics and how detrimental those statistics are to our community. And I wanted to do mission focused work. And so I said, why not me? Why not me? I have a story, a similar experience. I am an advocate for swimming. I've never once on any platform said that I am an Olympic swimmer, because, you know, many Black females especially still struggle with the embarrassment of being an adult and not knowing how to swim and not knowing how to swim well. And my goal is to eliminate that stigma and let them see me on my journey as well to still becoming a strong swimmer. But I hire well, and we have certified instructors that have led swim teams, are Olympic swimmers, that train our children and adults in the water. Swim Kids, over the years, has been or is a school-based program. So we actually work with Atlanta Public Schools, DeKalb County Public Schools, to transport children during the school day as a part of the school's curriculum for swimming instruction and water safety programming. So we treat it like a field trip. They get 10 lessons, 10 30-minute lessons. And everything is completely free. I meet with the parents ahead of time, help them. They meet our instructors. They see the space where we're going to be. And thanks to gracious donors and corporate sponsors, we are able to provide transportation for free for the children. Everything, including bathing suits, towels, and swimming caps are free for these children. And the goal is for their first introduction to water to be a safe one and a structured one, so that it creates this life long learning of swimming and water safety for them. And we want to plant seeds that they will want to continue to progress in swimming. And we can then change this generational stigma and feeling around the water for the Black community.
Is there, or are there particular barriers other than maybe access to a pool, which mm-hmm. I would imagine could be a thing? Mm-hmm. For specifically Black children when it comes to water safety and learning how to swim?
Absolutely. According to the literature, there are three barriers. Access is one of those. And I wanna press pause there to just in this time that we're facing right now, it's further illuminated by public pools are closed. Mm-hmm. They're closed for instruction. They're closed for those who don't already know how to swim. You can rent lanes in some of the public pools, but if you don't know how to swim, that doesn't really do much for you. So access is still a huge problem. William Fogler, who you mentioned with WM Events, is helping us with that issue by opening up his private pool at home for us to continue instruction. Those types of things where if you don't, and we transport children there for families that don't have the ability to be able to do that, It's an issue and a problem where you have private pools or private country clubs that are open. And again, that inequity and that imbalance of access to water and access to learning is still there, and it's growing. It's growing now. So access is definitely still one of the top. Cost of lessons is a barrier. And I only bring up cost specific to related to prioritization. So most people pay for what they want to pay for, right? So if you really want the thing, you'll save and sacrifice. However, it's not terribly prioritized for many of us as something that we should spend money on, or, you know, why now? It's leisure, they're not a splash, I'll keep them out of the deep end, it's okay. So cost of lessons in terms of the prioritization of them is an issue. But however, the most communicated issue is hair. Is hair and hair maintenance. And that is most communicated by Black female mothers and children. That actually is a particular pain point of my own and actually sparked the creation of a product side of our business where we are eliminating that as an issue as well. But hair maintenance, I've had mothers or families really that have opted out of a free lesson because they didn't know what they were gonna do with their child's hair once they go to the pool earlier in the day. So it's definitely a pain point that many take lightly who don't really understand the hours that it can take for maintenance or what chlorine and salts do to ethnic hair. But it's definitely a consideration. And I gave a teaser, but I have another company that's called the William Plachette Company that actually is creating the very first fully waterproof swimming cap that's designed to keep our hair dry while we are enjoying the water. So it's not just a matter of it fits. There are products out there that allow it to fit, which is an issue too, right?
Yeah.
You have hair.
Yeah.
This allows your hair to fit, but it also provides a patent pending technology that creates a barrier to keep the water out, which is really the biggest pain point. If you have especially chemically processed or straightened hair, if you have natural hair, if you have hair and you don't want it wet, right. It's a pain point. So we are literally creating solutions around each of those issues: access to lessons, cost of lessons, and hair maintenance. We are creating solutions for all of those to make sure that everyone has the freedom to enjoy the water and that's no longer a concern for them.
Wow, that's so awesome. I love what you're doing and how you're combining it with the solutions you know, one other thing that, you know, I guess is a question that I had too, is generationally. So, you know, we talk about, you know, it's swim kids, and obviously there's, you know, the focus on getting the youth connected, and so that, you know, we can prevent and get them started early. But talk about generationally, because their parents probably, a lot of cases, don't know how to swim or didn't have access or didn't have, you know, discretionary funds to pay for lessons. And so how does that play into the fact that, you know, you may have families where the little one might be the only person who knows how to swim, or the first to learn how to swim?
You hit it on the head. Segregation, Jim Crow, those are things in our past that have created really the generation of non-swimmers and fear that we experience today. Pre-slavery, where we sometimes forget there's a before, those that lived in African countries, mm-hmm. great swimmers. And that is just the strength, the athleticism, no secret to water at all. However, after the passage, as a right of control, those kinds of things brought about fear. Watching your loved one being thrown over a boat, you know, those are things that just created these traumas and these seeds that continue to germinate, where we then created this feeling about the water. Even add in colorism, where being out in the sun, we don't want to get darker, or we shouldn't be in the sun, and all of those things. And the only reason I'm bringing them up in this kind of form is because those were things that happened to me as I was growing up. Those were reasons that I was told to stay out of the sun, or those were reasons why we didn't go to the water. All of those kinds of things I actually experienced growing up. And it was based on my mother's fear and what she had experienced and her mother's fear. So it was passed down, where it resulted in me almost drowning. There's great literature, great books. There's a book called Contested Waters that really, really digs in to how segregation and Jim Crow and those things created this environment that we see now, where even those that wanted to learn how to swim or wanted to enjoy the water were then kept out, or they stepped into the water and the full pool had to be drained, or bleach was poured in the pool. And again, those create this sense that it's not for us, it's for someone else. And when our approach with our curriculum, Swim Kids is very much focused on elementary and middle school children, but we have a swim school called the Atlanta Swim School that is for the full family. That's where our adults, that's where our children that matriculate out of Swim Kids and they continue on learning, that's where they go and continue to progress in their swimming. So we have swim clinics for adults, we have swim lessons for adults, and every time I have a parent, the first question I ask them is, can you swim? Tell me about your experience in the water. And we first have to, and the reason our curriculum, we focus on a culturally relevant and applicable curriculum, because we have to acknowledge all of those things I just said, all of the baggage and trauma that sometimes comes with that. And the way I typically appeal to a parent that doesn't know how to swim, and they're like, I'm going to focus on my child first, is I first say, well, you know, as a parent, the one of the scariest things, and I have a 13-year-old and a 14-year-old, one of the scariest things is for me not to be able to save them in whatever the situation is. And I can't imagine being on a shore, being on a poolside, and my child is struggling in the water and I can't do anything about it. And so I first talk to them from a water safety standpoint, and I'm talking to whoever's listening today, from a water safety standpoint of learning the basic skills of, you don't have to become an Olympic swimmer if that's not your goal or your dream. However, having the basic skills to navigate the water safely is a life-saving skill. And it's something that we should all prioritize in some sort of manner, if not just to be able to save our child, someone else's child, someone else that's struggling in the water. Just as you would learn CPR first aid, it's a priority. And it's a public health kind of citizen need that we should be able to focus on. But we focus very much on the family in all of our programming and all what we do. And it's for that reason, to change the perception of the cultural perception of swimming, and also changing the representation. One thing I didn't say before is representation is also important in a traumatic situation. So if you're in an unfamiliar environment or an environment that may have brought fear to you in the past, for example, my brothers, they learned how to swim by being thrown into the lake by my father. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen to the baby and the only girl. That didn't happen to me. Yeah. So my brothers have a different experience in the water, and we have to first be able to acknowledge that when I'm talking to a man who is a little afraid of getting in the water, and we have to, I work with that man by pairing him with another Black male. Mm-hmm. So we make sure that we understand that representation, people who look like you, many times is very important in helping you to get over that hurdle. We certainly believe in diversity in our space and in our water. We are also doing that though by diversifying what the swimmers and instructors look like in just the swimming community as a whole.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I know, really, I will say, you know, I kind of feel like a little bit of like a proof point to what you're talking about. Cause both of my, I mean, I grew up in South Florida. We had a pool in our backyard. So that was one thing, you know, the access thing, when you have that access. And then both of my, well, my dad grew up in St. Augustine. So, you know, center of pouring acid in the pools when the kids wanted to go, you know, so there was that. But both of my parents were like, oh, y'all are getting swim lessons and you're going to learn how to swim. We dug this pool. You're going to learn how to swim in it. Right. And honestly, from the day school got out until the day school got back in, so that was the hair thing, it was like, if you want to get in the pool, get in the pool. We'll worry about, you know, so having that. So for me, I really do have a positive relationship with water in that sense, because I was never taught to fear it and never taught to have that negative connotation. So, you know, all of that sounds like, yeah, that sounds, so they did the right thing. It was a long time ago, but they were on the
I do have family members that were thrown in the deep end. Now, I wasn't personally, but you know what? My thing was when, and I grew up in California, so I grew up in around a lot of water.
Right.
And I self-taught myself how to swim. But it was for the simple fact that my cousin, who I was very close to, she was one of the ones where her dad's like, 10 feet, sink or swim, go. She learned how to swim. But all of my other cousins learned how. And I think too, when we talk about barriers, if you're a young kid and you don't have access or you have those barriers, you get invited to the pool party of friends and your kids, and you're the only one who doesn't know. And obviously your parents probably aren't there with you. So you're around your peers and they're jumping off the diving board and things. And that was my motivation, honestly, for wanting to teach myself how to swim. I was like, I gotta keep up with everybody else because I don't want to be the one on the sidelines. So, you know, the cultural stuff, absolutely. But then you get this peer pressure, kind of like you were with your friends, right? You know, they were gone and you didn't want to be on the sidelines. So I think that also, you know, plays a huge part in how, you know, and why, you know, in our community too, like the kids just aren't swimming. So
it's so accurate. And it's so accurate for you to even note the peer pressure side of that, because that's why the middle school age statistics are so high. So middle schoolers, you're starting to give your children just a little bit more freedom, right? So maybe you're not going with them to this birthday party, or you're not going with them over to their friends' houses. And that is where peer pressure starts to happen, right? And you're embarrassed. You don't want to tell them, you know, you can't do something, so I'll figure it out, right? How hard can it be? They can do it.
Right.
And that's where you see those rates so high. And that's why it's so important for us to get to them well before that middle school age, so that we can prevent those kinds of things from happening.
So tell us in our last minute or so, how can the community support your efforts? How can people help? Especially, you know, like you were talking about, so much of this was school-based. And, you know, in these COVID times, as we call them, how is that, you know, how can people help you to navigate this new different time that we're in to make sure that we're still helping kids have this healthy relationship with the water?
Yeah. Help us with those 3 points. First, access. If you have access to a country club, invite us in, allow us, give us who we need to talk to so that we can host lessons at your country club and bring people in, Or if you have a pool, you have a pool in your backyard or in your community, we would love to come and give lessons there. In this COVID area, since schools and pools were closed prematurely, a lot of the children that we were instructing did not get an opportunity to receive instruction before the summertime. And so we would love to be able to get those children before pools and things open up and where we see a spike in our drowning rates because they weren't able to get that information. So if you have access to a pool or you know someone that has access to a pool, please contact us at swimkids.com, and that's SWEMKIDS.com. The other thing we'd like you to do is fund a child, a school, a class of swimming instruction, because cost still is an issue for many of our children, where you can also give on our website as well. Be an advocate for swimming. So if you don't know how to swim, or you have a family member that doesn't know how to swim, and swimming means that you are not in a shallow end, you can tread water for 30 seconds. That means you know how to swim. You can get safely to the edge. That means you know how to swim. If you are not able to do that, or a loved one isn't able to do that, sign up for swimming instruction. And you can also do that at our website, or go to AtlantaSwimSchool.com and sign up for a swimming instruction.
Wow. Well, Trisha,
get an advocate.
This has been such a pleasure. I'm so glad that Swim Kids exists. Thanks for coming on our show, but really breaking down why this is so important. I think you did a really good job, and hopefully our audience is taking all of this in, but is activated now. And this is the summertime. This is the time where we see drowning rates go up anyway. And so this is really, now that people are at home even more, this is so important for you all to exist and be successful and continue to reach those kids and families. So thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate you.
Thank you. And one other thing, I'd ask for people to follow us on our social media, which is on Instagram, it's Swim Kids, and for Atlanta Swim School, it's atlswimschool.com. So please follow us on social media so that you can see photos of what we're doing in the community with our children and our adults learning how to swim.
Great. All right. Thank you.
You all.